Well, this past Monday, I got a phone call. I was working on my sermon and trying to get started on the passage I'm going to be reading. And a fellow on the phone identified himself as from Wells Fargo. I'm calling you from Wells Fargo Bank. Did you open up a checking account in our bank today? And I said, no, I did not. And he said, did you authorize anyone to open up an account in your name? I said, no, I did not. Do you know if there's anybody in your family that would have opened up this account in your name? And I said, no, it's not my account. Obviously, we're dealing with fraud here. And he said, well, okay, sorry to Mr. McDonald, but the individual who opened up the account, they made a deposit, but then they withdrew. They made a withdrawal through their Zelle money moving, app, twice the amount of what they deposited. And so we're going to need you to call Zelle and, you know, give them these cancellation numbers. And I said, well, I got a little problem with that. I said, because you're the one who let them open up a fraudulent account. And for some reason, your bank allowed them to pull out twice the amount of money than they actually have. So I don't know why that's my problem. And he said, well, we're very sorry again, very sorry. But Zelle is a third-party app, and we're going to need you. Here's the numbers, and here's the number you need to call, and they'll be asking you some questions. And so I got off the phone, and I did not call the number they gave me. I called my bank. I said to my bank, hey, I just got a phone call from Wells Fargo, supposedly telling me that somebody's opened up an account with my, you know, identification. I said, you know, do you see any activity there in my account that would be fraudulent? Well, we're not seeing anything. And I said, you know, for right now, I said, I have no idea. Can somebody open up an account at another bank? And if they have my cell number, can they tap into my Zelle account? Can you freeze my Zelle? And she said, absolutely. We just put a freeze on Zelle and nobody will be able to Zelle any money in or out of your account. I said, thank you. I got off the phone. About a minute later, I get a phone call from the original number. Hey, this is Wells Fargo again. You haven't called the Zelle number yet. I said, no, I haven't. Well, they're waiting for your call. We need you to give them information to cancel these charges that you're going to have to be dealing with. And listen, if you've had any training at all in cyber fraud, that's a red flag. I want to say this to you. I should probably say it more often, particularly to the seniors out there. Don't ever be pressured to do anything relating to your money and your accounts and giving up information. Because I recognize that right away as a tactic. They're going to make pressure. You got to call them. They're literally sitting there waiting for Vincent McDonald to call them. You know what I mean? And they're trying to get you to feel pressure so that you won't think the way you normally would. And I just said, okay, I'll call them. I got off the phone and I called Wells Fargo, the bank that was at Ellisburg Circle. I said, listen, now this is the number that I got a call from. And he said, thanks. We've had numerous people call. It's a scam. They're somehow able to get our number to play off of our number. It's, don't worry about it. And I didn't. Thursday, I got a call. Guy says, Mr. McDonald, I'm calling from Wells Fargo. Did you open up a checking account? I said, no, I did not. Well, someone came in today and opened up a checking account in your name, and they used Zelle. I said, this is fascinating because you called me on Monday and you told me that they did it on Monday. And I click. Right? Scams. Right? They're all around us. We've learned to have to what? Be vigilant. Be alert. Yeah, Mr. McDonald, could you just give us your Social Security number? No. You know, I'm not giving you any information. Some of you may even feel like I don't trust anybody. Right? And I understand, and so would David. David, as we're looking back in his life in 2 Samuel, wrote many a psalm about scams and fraud.
and how there were people that were hacking his Facebook page and his you know, his where is it? It's in Psalm, one example, just in Psalm 10. If you look at verse 8 and just read the words, he sits in the lurking places on the villages. In the hiding places, he kills the innocent. His eyes stealthily watch for the unfortunate. He lurks in a hiding place as a lion in his lair. He lurks to catch the afflicted. He catches the afflicted when he draws him into his net, right? You can picture those fishing for your information. They're trying to draw you into their net. David knew it. And you may be expecting the rest of the sermon to be about how you guard yourself, but it's not. It's to tell you this, that we're going to be reading verses that David gives for us to see, and they're verses that let us know there is one relationship. Hopefully you have many good, solid, secure relationships in your life, but there is one that every one of us can absolutely let our guard down with. And that's your relationship with Almighty God. God is not scamming anybody, all right? God is, we're going to see David, I want to read some verses, and we're going to see David just letting us know about his personal relationship with God. He doesn't think he's telling us. But through Scripture, we're getting to see, because this is him and God, right? In 2 Samuel chapter 7, as he's responding to God in verse 25, "Now therefore, O Lord God, the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and his house, confirm it forever and do as you have spoken, that your name may be magnified forever by saying, 'The Lord of hosts is God over Israel,' and may the house of your servant David be established before you. For you, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have made a revelation to your servant saying, 'I will build you a house.' Therefore, your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. Now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are truth, and you have promised this good thing to your servant. Now, therefore, may it please you to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue before forever before you. For you, O Lord God, have spoken, and with your blessing may the house of your servant be blessed forever." We get to see this note that David writes to God. He doesn't know we're seeing it, but there's great advantage to it. I think I may have shared years ago that when I was a sophomore in high school, there was a particular girl I was friends with, and she wanted us to be more than friends. And at the time, the radio was lit up with Debbie Boone's song. Those of you who were, "You light up my life, you give me hope," right? And this girl decided, I guess the night before, maybe she just, you know, you're listening to music, you do something you wouldn't normally do, and she wrote out all those lyrics to me. She put them in my locker. The lockers have those little vent things, and she stuck them in my locker for the next day. Except she put them in the wrong locker. She put them in the locker next to my locker. And the guy who got them was not a gracious, tender fellow. He read them and told them to everyone. And so for the rest of the day, I'd walk into a class and the guys would be going, "You light up my life," you know. And the poor girl, I think she was, well, she told me it was, you know, it was embarrassing. We're still friends, you know, we don't talk often, but we're still friends, and she laughs about it. But, you know, David isn't like, "Oh no, I didn't think everybody was going to get to see this." He would be more like, "I hope you see it. And I hope you desire to have the same closeness with God that I have in these words." This is David sitting alone with God. He was in battle and he took Jerusalem. He was in battle. He defeated the Philistines. He moves the ark. In chapter 8, he's going to be in battle again. But in chapter 7 and verse 18, we read, "Then David the king went in and sat before the Lord, and he said," and this is David and God. And the first thing I want us to see is how confident David is in God's closeness. When you look at these verses that I just read, verses 25 to 29, David uses the words "you" or "your" 20 times in these verses. This is God, this is you and me. This is closeness. I probably shared it more than once because it was I remember it making a big impact on me when our youngest daughter, Natalie, was, I think she wasn't in school yet, but well, maybe she was kindergarten, right around there. But she came home, I came home, and she had something very exciting to share and whatever. And I think I went in, sat down, flicked the TV on, and she's telling me, and I'm going, one of those days where you're like, "Ah, that's great. Yeah, that's great." And I remember she just stood up on the sofa, put both hands on my face, and turned my face and said, "Dad, look at my face," right? This isn't, I don't want to, to the side of your face. I want you to be looking at me. And that's the moment that's going on here. And what I want to ask you is, do you sense that God does that with you? Because he does. I've been stunned at times how people say, "Yeah, God loves the world, but you know, No, God wants to have a close relationship with you, with you, with you. You personally. With us, yes, but with me personally. He wants me to be close. We use the word intimate. It comes from the Latin word intimare. In our society today, people say, you know, "Well, I was intimate with them." Oh, they think it was like some, you know, one-night physical act or whatever. The word is so far removed from that, because the word means to bring into. The Webster's Dictionary says to be intimate with another is to have access to and comprehend their innermost character. See, that's why we have so many broken relationships. Physical intimacy is supposed to come after this true, deep intimacy where we get to know a person's innermost character and feel secure with them and bond together, a man and woman in marriage and right? But what is God's? God says what? God says, "I want you to understand how safe and special you are." Do you hear God saying that to you? "I want you to grow in closeness with me. I want you to feel safer with me this year than you felt last year." If that's what you want, why'd you let such and such happen? So that he could make you need him more, right? Whatever. God is using all different things to do what? To draw us closer. Where does it start? Well, obviously, it starts with faith in Jesus. In John chapter 1, many of you know those wonderful verses that are identifying the eternal Son of God, Jesus, the eternal Son, who left his father's glory, came to be a babe and to grow as the God-man, right? And we read about him in John chapter 1, and we read in verse 10, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name," right? This incredible start to a real relationship with God. Whether you're here today, whether you're watching online, let that be the thing that you're most sure of. Am I in that category of people who have the ability to draw close to God because I've come to that point where I've said, "Yes, Jesus, I believe you came to die on the cross for my sin. I believe you rose from the dead for my sin, not just for the world, for me personally. And I open up my heart by faith and put all of my trust in you. That's where it begins. And when God calls you to closeness, to come to me, he isn't calling you to get in line, right? Get in line for heaven. Get in line to serve me. He's not calling you to get in any line. He's calling you to come, get in his lap, if I may say. To come, Jesus says, come unto me, all of you who are weak, heavy burdened. There's so many things, right, in life that we may even have to hide from some of our friendships. Hurts and aches and misunderstandings and insecurities and failures and disappointments and shame. But God says, bring it all, because I know about it all. The whole idea is I want you to feel completely safe in my friendship. I've purchased the right for you to be my child by my son's shed blood for you. And so be confident in getting close to me. When Jesus speaks to the church in the book of Revelation, the church of Laodicea, right? And they were a church that was comfortable just having a surface relationship with God. All right, we believe you're there, but I don't want to be making every, you know, I don't want to have to talk to you every day and throughout the day. And have to, you know, and Jesus says, you're lukewarm. I would rather spit you out of my mouth because you want me as an appetizer. But what does he say to them in verse 20? He says this, behold, right? I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. Right? I mean, do you hear? It's Jesus for you. Hey, I want you to get closer to me. And it's a journey. You're not going to all of a sudden immediately. We're supposed to be growing in that closeness, and he uses different things, right? And so for David, he used a victory. David threw one stone at Goliath. Goliath falls. Wow, my God is so powerful. But he also used what? David running away from Saul as King Saul's trying to kill him to make David say, Lord, I need you. Where are you? Help me. I need your closeness, right? He uses all different things to draw you close to him, but it's a journey. And he's calling you still. Come close to me. Look at my face. Let's grow with each other. Let's get to know one another better. I don't care if you failed, right? In the Gospel of John, after Peter denied Jesus three times, I don't even know who he is. And Jesus is crucified, rises from the dead. And what does he do? He comes to Peter and says, Peter, come close to me. Look at my face. Do you love me? Closeness. David is so confident in his closeness with God. But he's confident also in a second thing, right? He's confident in God's conquest. In other words, I know you're going to win. And I know this. It's a win-win. Because if you win, I win. Because I'm yours. And when you look at verse 25, he said what? The words that you've spoken, what does he say at the end? Confirm it forever. Do it. Do as you have spoken, that your name may be magnified forever by saying, the Lord of hosts is God over Israel. May the house of your servant David be established before you. I don't know where your mind goes, but when I hear David saying, do what you said you're going to do, bring about your conquest, I hear Jesus saying, here's how I want you to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, right? Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Do what you have planned to do. Because it's going to mean victory. David knew, God's telling him right now, you know, all that he has in store for him. And David knows everything God's already done for him. And so David's saying, I see what you've done for me. I know what you're going to do for me. So if your will, if your plan wins, I win. And the Apostle Paul says the same thing to me in Romans, right? I say to me, because the Holy Spirit wants this letter that he wrote to the people in Rome to land on my heart and soul. And what is it that he says? I'll personalize it. What shall, Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for Vince McDonald, who's against Vince McDonald? The point is, it doesn't matter who's against me. When I'm so confident in his conquest, it doesn't make me arrogant, doesn't make me careless, but it causes me that sense of, wow, such security and safety, right? But look what he goes on to say. God, who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for Vince, how will he not also with him freely give Vince everything? Wow. So what that verse is saying is, I could sit and say, oh God, you have drawn me to be close to you. What a friend I have in you, Lord. And let your kingdom come. I'm so confident in your conquest because I know whatever is gained to you will ultimately be gained to me. I can remember where I was on February 4th, 2018. I've said that enough. Some of you might know the date, right? Because February 4th, 2018, I was in Nate and Deanna's basement with the family celebrating the Eagles winning the Super Bowl, right? Why was I celebrating? Because I knew I was going to get a Super Bowl ring. No. Because I was going to get bonus money. No. Because I'm good friends with some of the Eagles. No. Because when they win, I win. When they have a great victory, I have a great day. It's just, that sense of identifying as part of the kingdom of the Philadelphia Eagles. I know it's not eternal, believe me. I know there's only one, right? But that sense of with God in a real sense, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. I'm so confident in your victory, which is why Paul says to us, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Because if you're doing it for his glory, it's your gain. If you're not, it's your loss. God wants you to be confident in his closeness, in his conquest. There's a third thing, in his communication. Look at verse 27. For you, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have made a revelation. What is that? A communication. He's revealed to him. It's his word, right? You've made a revelation, saying, I will build you a house. Therefore, your servant has found courage to pray this, because I'm confident in your communication. Verse 28, now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are truth, and you have promised this good thing to your servant. There were times when Vivian's daddy was standing there in front of me, and I said, Vincent, did you do such and such? And I watched him go, and I knew right away. What's coming out of his mouth isn't going to be true, right? And why do I know it? Because he got his sin nature from me. And I remember saying to my dad, and my mind's trying to figure out it wasn't figuring out do I tell the truth or not. It was what lie is going to work, which lie is going to maybe be believable. And I'm sure he sat there as well going, I know whatever he's going to say isn't true. Now, hopefully you have relationships in your life where you trust them. I'm sure you have relationships where you say, I'm not telling them anything, right? And there may be other relationships where you trust them, but hopefully you have some where you say, I can make myself completely vulnerable to them. But here's the fact. The one relationship where you are absolutely guaranteed to be assured that you can trust everything he says is God. Everything. And that's what he says. I trust your word. Sometimes our own life, our tiredness, our struggles, sometimes it affects our ability to respond to God's communication, right? I mean, there are times in our lives when Scripture it seems to be exploding off the page. Every verse I read, wow. And there are other times where we are going through a desert. We are going through a trial, a dry time. And we're hanging on to one verse. That's the verse we're holding to, right? I remember sophomore year, I broke my leg in a car accident, and it was the first time I was ever going to be in the hospital overnight. And I remember my dad telling me there at Kennedy Hospital, now it's Jefferson, Cherry Hill, "Vince, they're going to be keeping you overnight." And I was like, because I'm not a Marine. I don't ever pretend to be a Marine. I'm not Mr. Tough Guy. You know what I mean? I like being home. You know what my dad knew? He didn't give me his speech. When I was 13, I went away, because he did. He was away for 6 months. He was 13 as a kid at some point. Anyhow, he just said to me, "Here, let me give you a verse." And he gave me Psalm 34:1. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." And it became a valuable verse to me, but I kept reading when he left. He left, and I read some of the passage, and I got down to verse 4, and verse 4 said, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." Oh, I appreciated verse 1, but verse 4, okay, the Lord's going to deliver me from my fears. And just then, the teenager in the hospital bed next to me pulls back the curtain, and he says to me, "Now be cool. You're cool, right?" I was like, He lights up a cigarette. And I'm thinking, yeah, Jen, I'm thinking, holy mackerel, like there's oxygen in here. I'm glad that like I'm closer to the door than he is, right? But I'll tell you what, that night I laid there. I sought the Lord, he heard me, delivered me from my fears. Sought the Lord, he heard me, delivered me from my fears, right? I wanted to press the button and call the nurse, but I thought, he's going to, sought the Lord and he heard me, delivered me from my fears, you know. You may have that, you've been through a dry time and just, think about David. Right now, David's swimming in God's word. God's saying, "Hey, David, I'm going to give you the throne. Your son's going to be king next, and it's going to be eternal. The Messiah is going to be coming in your name." But there was a time when David was running for his life and maybe hanging on to one word of God: "You're going to be the king someday." And I can't see it. I don't feel it. I don't know how it's going to happen. But I'm confident in your word. The wonderful thing is, that's what David says. "I have found courage because of your communication." Listen to me, your closeness with God is not built on what you say to him. It's built on what he says to you. Now, it matters, your communication with God, but what I mean is this: if you've said to God, "Oh God, please forgive me, I promise I'll never do such and such again," he doesn't build his forgiveness on your promise. His forgiveness is built on his promise. If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you. Whether your promise to him ever comes true or not, that's the great thing about friendship with God. It's built on his word. The last thing we see is David's confidence in God's care. Look what he says in verse 29. "Now therefore, may it please you to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever before you. For you, O Lord God, have spoken, and with your blessing may the house of your servant be blessed forever." David says, "God, bless me." And you may say, "Well, we're not supposed to pray, 'God, bless me.'" Yes, you are. Yes, absolutely. When you are confident in that he's calling you into a close relationship, and you're confident that his conquest is your conquest, and you're confident in his communication, you should have the courage to pray, "God, bless me." Now, that blessing may come with trials. It may come with some doubt and questions. But he's going to use it all to do what? Bring you closer on the journey. What did Jesus say in Matthew 6 and 7? "Look at the grass. Look at the lilies. Look at the birds. God takes care of all of them." Now listen, Jesus says, he values you more than all of that. And so what does Jesus say? Ask him.
ask, right?
Now, again, he's not a genie in a bottle, right? Okay, Lord, I'm counting on another Super Bowl victory this year. Another, you know, this, another that, you know. Hey, he's not, but he is a God who, when we say, oh, God, bless my life, he hears us. He wants us. Confident in his conquest, your kingdom come, your will be done. Confident in his care, give us this day our daily bread. Deliver us from evil.
A while back, I got a text. Text simply said this on the phone. Hey, Jen, this is Violet. Dinner tonight? Now, I get a lot of texts, you know, hey, missed you last night from numbers I don't recognize, and I realize they're just junk. But on this particular night, I guess I had my, you know, my alert mode was down a little bit, and so I responded, hey, wrong number, there's no Jen here. And I got another text response. Well, who are you? Maybe we could be friends. Maybe we can have dinner together. And at that moment, I realized Violet was probably Igor in Slovakia trying to get my information slowly, right? You know, and it's important to remember that. You get those pictures, and this, that's probably not the person that's really, you know, right? And but it's important to stop and say, scam, be alert, trust God. He's not going to scam you. Vincent, this is God. Cast all your care on me. You can. I care about you. Have you come to faith in Almighty God? Maybe you're sitting here. Maybe you're watching online. That's where it all starts, through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. Those are his words. We didn't invent them as a church. We're followers of a Savior, Jesus, who says, you have to come to God through me. Have you done that? You can right now in your own heart, just Almighty God, I confess my sin. I need you. I believe you, that your word is true. I'm trusting that you're not scamming me. I believe you gave your son to pay the price for my sin. It's unbelievable, but it's true. I believe it, and I put all my faith in Jesus. Maybe you're a Christian, and you're just not getting closer to him. You've been satisfied with... It's Jesus. I stand at the door. I'm knocking. Let me closer to you. Look at my face. Trust me. There's nobody you need more than God. There's no one you can trust more than God. What a friend we have in Jesus. Father, we thank you for this diary from David's, pages from his diary, Lord, that we can read of his conversation with you. Thank you for letting us see it, and may it draw us. Spirit of the living God, draw us to sit and be so confident, so grateful, so secure, so safe in our relationship with you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and sing two verses of a song.